And this really is a go-to verse. If you're a disciple of Jesus, can we turn that up a little bit, Phil? Thank you. If you're a disciple of Jesus, this is a go-to verse. Father God, just open our ears, open our eyes and open our hearts just to receive your word here this morning. We thank you for Jesus' teaching. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, touch our hearts. Amen. And I want to start with a question. What does the blessed life look like? The blessed life. This is a series we're starting on the Sermon on the Mount called The Blessed Life. And in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, it contains the Beatitudes delivered by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes is Latin for blessed. And I just want you to picture this. If you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, there is a mountain. You can go up that, the Mount of Beatitudes. And at the top, it's so beautiful. You see all of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee there. And it's surrounded by mountains, and it looks like a natural amphitheater, and it really is beautiful. And this is where Jesus spoke from, and people would be sitting on the hills. This is his first sermon, his first sermon. And in verse 1, he says, this is a message given to the disciples, his disciples. And if you listen to this message, it's extremely countercultural. This would have been very shocking in that day. The Sermon of the Mount, if we read it slowly, you'll notice it's an invitation. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, sons and daughters. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is not a random collection of eight connected sayings. It's not a random collection. These are all linked, and there's a progression from one to the other. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring each beatitude. And today, we're going to look at verse 3. And I'm only going to look at verse 3, poor in spirit. And first of all, I want to tell you what it's not. What the Sermon on the Mount is not. The Sermon of the Mount is not about how you become saved. Or necessarily about the future rewards. But it describes a lifestyle of those who already belong to God's kingdom. The Beatitudes is not just ethical instruction. It describes a character of those who belong to God's kingdom. The Beatitudes is not a list of virtues that we have to master or moral ideals that we need to imitate. It describes a soul that's fully yielded to God. And the Beatitudes is not about self-improvement. It's not about behavior modification. It describes a life by the Spirit, under God's reign, that is only possible through grace. And when Moses started his ministry, he went up a mountain and he came down and he gave out commands. When Jesus starts his ministry, he goes up the mountain and he starts with blessings. And if you notice here, there is a blessing before the command. There is grace before obedience. And this word blessed is powerful. It's a powerful word. blessed. It doesn't necessarily mean happiness as we understand it in the world today. It's from the Greek word makarios, and it means this. You are approved by God. You are living under God's favor, and you are sharing in God's own life. You are blessed. Blessed implies divine joy and flourishing, an inner satisfaction that doesn't depend on our outward circumstances. And this is what the Lord offers to those who trust in Him. What does the blessed life look like? The world says you are blessed if you're wealthy, if you're powerful, if you are successful. Jesus says you're blessed if you're poor in spirit, if you mourn over your sin and the sin in the world. You are blessed if you are meek and if you're merciful, if you are pure in heart, if you are a peacemaker, and if you are persecuted. You are blessed. Some of these things don't sound like it though, do they? It's an upside down thing going on here. The kingdom is here, upside down. It belongs not to the powerful, but to those that know their need. So the first point, blessed. You're blessed if you're poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, verse 3. And in spirit means in our inner self. We are blessed in our inner self. And notice, this is a promise. This is a promise that theirs is the kingdom. It's present tense. It's now. If you are poor in spirit, you're in the kingdom now. And I love the Amplified Bible's translation of this verse. I'm just going to read it out. Blessed means you're to be envied. You're spiritually prosperous. It's with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition. That is the poor in spirit, the humble who rate themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty in spirit is the gateway before the blessing. That's how we enter the blessing. The starting point of all blessings. I heard a sermon once where the minister said, we can't do this. No, we can't do it if we're not humble. We need to be poor in spirit. That's where it all starts. And we need Jesus' help to do that. Jesus is not praising material poverty, but spiritual humility. To be poor in spirit means to be humble. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of being self-confident and self-reliant. And an example of this, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus is poor in spirit. If you want the best example of this, look to Jesus. He entrusts himself to the Father. And all throughout the Gospels, he demonstrates humility. Jesus is dependent at his baptism in Matthew 3, at his temptation in Matthew 4, in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, when he says, not my will be done, but yours. Poor in spirit can be summed up as Jesus' obedience to the Father's will. And here we see that Jesus' strength lies in his dependence on God. And notice, Jesus doesn't say, become poor in spirit. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Like Jesus, we need to be dependent on God. And poor in spirit, we discover that we have nothing that we can offer God. We've got empty hands. We cannot earn our way into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot save ourselves by our own strength, our own goodness, or our own righteousness. We need God's mercy. And acknowledging that we don't deserve a place in God's kingdom in our own merit, is the prerequisite for entering into the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to those who know they cannot establish their own righteousness. And it's quite interesting, when you look at that word in the Greek word for poor in spirit doesn't mean material poverty, but spiritual bankruptcy. We are completely dependent on God. Every breath we receive, he sustains us. And at the same time, we're completely, utterly loved by God. We cannot receive grace while we are spiritually proud. We need to empty ourselves of spiritual self-reliance in order to be filled by God. And this is an important thing to say here, that poverty in spirit is not low self-esteem. I once had low self-esteem. That was before I met Jesus. Now my strength, my identity is in him. Humility is not thinking poorly of ourselves. It's seeing ourselves accurately in relation to God. Low self-esteem is rooted in a distorted self-image. For me, it was in shame, rejection, and comparison. My focus was on my own inadequacy. Poor in spirit recognizes we have a spiritual need and we depend on God. And I learned to switch my focus from myself and put my focus onto God. And what I found was poor in spirit means that I no longer have to prove myself. Because our identity is received, not achieved. Our worth is being loved by God. Our worth is not from our performance. And this means our confidence is not in ourselves, but in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So how do we apply verse 3 to our own lives? I was thinking about this, I was praying through this, and I've come up with three things. The Lord gave me the word self-sufficiency. The opposite of poor in spirit is self-sufficiency, spiritual self-sufficiency. And I kind of wrestled with this because we are supposed to be sufficient in certain things. The Bible tells us this. We should work diligently. We should provide for our families. And we should take responsibility for our actions. And in that, we should be sufficient in Christ who strengthens us. But self-sufficiency says, I'm doing fine. I don't need anybody else's help. And I don't need God. Poverty in spirit says, I need God's mercy every day. In fact, every moment of every day. And this is why pride is dangerous. It blinds us to our needs. That's the first point. Secondly, self-sufficiency denies the gospel. How does it do this? Well, the gospel teaches us that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot earn our own salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness that comes through Jesus. We cannot make ourselves righteous. And we cannot conquer sin through sheer determination. We need God. Thirdly, self-sufficiency resists dependency on the Holy Spirit. If we're self-sufficient, we're not dependent on him. That means we place ourselves where God belongs. We put ourselves in God's place. Instead of trusting God's wisdom, we trust ourselves. Instead of seeking his strength, we rely on our own. And this is where the kingdom of God turns the world's values upside down. Worldly thinking values independence, self-confidence, personal achievement, and control. The kingdom of God values trust and humility, dependence on God's grace, and submission to God's will. We become strong by admitting our weaknesses. We become rich spiritually by confessing our spiritual poverty. We live by dying to ourselves. John the Baptist says, I must become less that he may become more. And we become sufficient because Christ is our sufficiency. So let me ask you a question this morning. Where in your life are you relying on your own sufficiency rather than God's? In conclusion, Matthew 5 verse 3, the Beatitudes invite us into a radically different way of life. The blessed life is not what we have or what we achieve, but who we are becoming, and it's about our relationship with God. Blessing is found not in self-sufficiency, not in self-reliance, but in wholehearted dependence on God. And as we yield to Jesus, the Holy Spirit shapes us into the people who increasingly reflect the character of Christ. Praise God. Christ, our King. So the poor in spirit is a posture that is required to receive Christ. The blessed life is Christ's life in us. The blessed life is where self-reliance ends and humility and dependence on God begins. And Jesus says that those who know they are poor in spirit right now are in a state of divine favor and blessing. Your present reality is blessed. You are blessed because you are in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I ask you, make us all, Lord, poor in spirit. And give us hearts that mourn what breaks your hearts, Lord. Give us gentleness that receives rather than grasps. And a hunger that can only be satisfied by righteousness. And may our lives, Lord, reflect your life so that others see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that you receive the glory. Amen. Amen.